And we looked at the idea of pornography and looked at it as a secret sin, and it certainly is one that creates a lot of problems in our society. I did get two people mixed up today, Jeffrey Dahmer and Ted Bundy, and I got I know you're confused in that, but Jeffrey Bundy did not eat anybody. That was Dahmer, okay? Bundy, I think he committed 30 murders, the other fellow did 17, I think, and he's the one that Dahmer that ate and that was baptized before that. So I thought I needed to straighten that out. I don't know why I got both those mixed up, but I guess I just wanted to use some good facts and got overloaded in that. But we're going to look at this a little bit tonight. We looked at some myths that people have about this, and we looked at some things in there. I hope you were able to look at some of these statistics and see that this is a problem. It is a problem that is accepted by many people, and it should not be. It needs to be dealt with. It is one that many people in this country, and these I've seen statistics, these were, I thought, kind of the middle of the road, and some of them were even greater than that as far as how many people deal with pornography in their world and in their society. Also, we saw that there is a problem. It's not just in the society, but it's also within the church too. This is a problem that needs to be dealt with, and we need to talk about it a little bit, and nobody really wants to talk about it. But it's something that needs to be talked about. It's something that we need to be, especially with the way of our communication today, with all of the internet and us allowing our children to be so involved in that, and our grandchildren, and even our own selves. But we really need to think about this just a little bit. I don't think I mentioned this morning, but I wanted to. There are some programs that you can place on your computers that will block some of this. And some of them, there was one from American, someone suggested, where did I put that? American, well, I'll get it in a minute. I'll find it in a jiffy. Yeah, I got too many notes. That's a problem with me too. I'll get that and I'll get it to you. American Family Association. That's just one of them, and I'm not saying that's the best one, but that's one of them. With so many young people being able to use computers so very much, it is good if we have some of these things on our computers to block some of this coming in. It may be good for us to have it, as those that are adults too, to block this so that it's not coming in and becoming a part of our lives, because it can be that way. It is astounding. I was with some preachers just a few months ago, and they were talking about, and they mentioned two or three youth ministers that were involved in pornography, and it had created a big problem, and then one minister that was. I do know one fellow that runs a great program within the church, and he said he got a call from the secretary. The fellow who was a preacher, an older preacher, was looking at pornography on the computer at this wonderful association, place. And he finally had to come and fire the fella because of that. And so this is something that's prevalent. We've had, in the last few years, we've seen people who are posting things on the internet that are indecent, that are wrong, that should not be. I don't understand why people don't realize that this is something that's opened up for everybody. It is something that anybody can look and see. And in this world we live in today, we don't seem to realize that the government, when we type something in on a computer, that sometimes they pick up a word or something and they can tell exactly what you're doing. Now, part of the reason I'm concerned about this is a friend of ours, and he doesn't live in this state, but they called me one night and they said, you know, we got a problem, and you always think of death or something like that. He said, our son, who was he was in the last year of his retirement. He was looking at pornography on the computer, and the FBI came up and knocked on his door. they had found because he had ordered a program, and they had that some word or something in there, and they picked that up. And they came to him. They arrested him. They put him in jail. His parents had to go down and bail him out. Here's a man who was studying to be a minister. Here's a fella who was about ready to retire from his job. Now, do you know what he's doing right now? 3 years in jail. That's exactly what he's doing right now. 3 years in jail. Now, I don't know about you, but this young man's life is really in a mess now. His wife is now having to work, not making enough to make the family get by. And this young man has been to two or three different prisons because at one of them he had to be locked down because of the other prisoners that were trying to get to him. And we want to, and you know, we say that there's not a problem with this. Nobody knows it. I'm just doing it in my office somewhere. I have the door shut. I'm not going to bother the children. I'm not going to go in and do anything sexual to my children. So it's okay for me to do that. Let me tell you something. It's not okay. It's wrong. I don't know about you and secrets, but there are not many secrets anymore. People know, and they understand what's going on. And we've seen this. We've seen here one of the great propagators of this is this on our own country. They make at least three times the pornographic movies as all of Hollywood does in a year. Now, I wonder why they do. Do they do that because they're losing money? Do they do that because they're not making a profit? Well, the profit is really big. The profit is really great, and they're making a lot of money. And you see, we see these myths of, well, you know, it's just looking. There's nothing wrong with looking at it. Yes, there is, and we need to be careful about that. We've seen the idea of the myth of you know, it's not something that's really, really bad. It's something that, you know, and it's just part of being a man looking at things like that. One, it's not just men that are doing it. Sometimes it's children. Sometimes it's women. It is a problem, and it continues to be a problem in our society, and it's going to continue to be a problem, and we can't ignore it. We can't overlook it. What we've got to do is to understand how important it is that we see this. Now, these are the myths that I talked about a while ago. Now, I wanted us to look tonight at how do you control this? How do you handle all this? How can you overcome this? Well, if you want to go on the internet, you can type in pornography, and you can type in a word that will help you to search that, to look for ways that you can overcome that. Just put overcome in there. And it will give you several things that will help people to be able to do that. I'm just going to mention just a few tonight. First of all, the first thing you need to do to overcome it is do not start. Okay? That's simple. Don't do it. Don't start in that. Because if you start in that, you may be able to overcome it. It may not bother you. You may be able to look at it and then turn away and walk away, and that's okay. You may be able to do that. But can your children do that? Can other people do that? We're to set the right example as Christians. And that means that we're going to have to learn to control ourselves and control our bodies, control our desires. Because this can become very strong and it become very powerful. Listen to what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 22. He said, "Flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart." He said, listen, what I want you to do is to get away from these things that are going to pull you away. Get away from these things, these youthful lusts, this sexual desires that you have. Get away from that. How do you do that? And he tells you how to do that. Get away from those things and fill your life up with love and peace and joy and with God's Word. That's what we've got to do. You can't just say, "I'm not going to do it anymore." You know, some people have a particular time of the day that they go in and look at this. They have a particular place that they go. What you've got to do is to change. Now, Melvis and Bernice and Linda and Cherie and the others that go to jail, I can't mention them all right now, they try to tell people that are there, if you want to stay out of jail, If you don't want to get back in here again, then get new friends. Go to another place. Now, you know how many people listen to that? How many, Melvis? He hadn't met one yet. That really, I shouldn't say he hadn't met one yet. Very few do that. Because they go back to the same place, the same people, the same friends, and they're going to go back to the same lifestyle. We're talking about changing here. We're talking about getting away from something and doing what is right. We're talking, I read one fellow that did some counseling with people who were facing this idea of pornography and trying to deal with it, and he said, what you need to do is to stop doing that and start reading the Bible a little bit more. Now that sounds simplistic. It sounds silly to a lot of people in the world, but please understand it's not. You're going to have to fill up your life with something. Now, if you don't, if that time that you use for pornography is there, there's going to be a pull on you to do that. So what you've got to do is to get away from it. And that means that you're going to have to fill your life with things that are good. Paul said here, Timothy, what I want you to do is I want you to fill your life with righteousness. I want you to fill your life with faith and love. I want you to fill your life with those things because they're going to be beneficial. These other things are going to pull you down. And that's not the way you want to live your life. Look for programs that will help you. If you don't know them, let me know and I'll find you one that you can put on your computer that will block that for your children. It would be great. And I trust my children. It's the world I don't trust. And it has a big influence on them. And so what we need to do, and maybe it's for our own sake, that we put those things on there and we do that. It is something, and we mentioned this morning, that the first introduction to some people have of pornography is around 11 years old. They're doing those research papers for school and they're looking through the computer that they have and here it just pops up. You've seen them. They've been there. You know what it is? It's there. How do you handle that? Well, we might be strong enough because we're adults. We know. What about children that don't know and they don't understand and they just hit a button and there they are? What we've got to do is realize we've got to get away from these things. We can't let those things be a part of our lives. Now, secondly, if we want to be able to deal with this, what we've got to do is we've got to let God take control. Now, I don't mean that any miraculous way, any kind of woo kind of way. I mean we've got to be willing to allow God to control our lives because of His Word, because of what He has to say. And what we've got to do is to be willing to confess those things. James tells us in James 5 and verse 16, confess your trespasses one to another and pray one for another. We've got to be willing to confess that we've got a problem. Now, sometimes we don't think we have a problem when we do. Most of these people that are in the jail don't see this as a big problem when they get out. But it leads them right back to what they were doing before. And that's not what people need. They need to get out of that. So he says, have somebody that you can go to and you can partner with, that you can talk to about this. Now please, don't go to the biggest gossip in town and do that. But go to some person that you trust that can help you and say, listen, I've got a problem with this. That's what we're trying to do. You can't get to heaven by yourself. We need help from other people and help to overcome sin. What would it be if some of these people that go to jail, if they said, listen, I want to get my life right. Can I call you, Melvis, if I have a problem? Can I call you if I feel like I want to go get a drink or if I want to do something that's going to go? Can I call you? What would you say to them? Yeah, call me. Whatever time it is, you give me a call and I'll answer it. And I'll try to help you in every way that I can to be able to do that. There are people like that. And they won't go gossip about it. They won't tell everybody about it. They understand. Now, pick the right person and be willing to go to them. James says they will help you. The prayers of a righteous person avails much. It helps you. And we've got to be willing to do that, to have those prayers that are there. Proverbs 27 says, iron sharpens steel. I think verse 17 there. Iron sharpens steel. And it talks about how that strong people help you to be strong. That's the purpose of that passage, to help you to see iron sharpens steel. And listen, we have the idea to help other people and to do for other people, and we want to help other people, and we need to. Be willing to ask people to help you to overcome this sin, because it's not something that you may not be able just to say, I'm going to quit and that's it. If it's like most sins, it may be ingrained, and it's going to take a great deal to overcome that. And then one of the other things here is we've got to be willing to go to God and ask God to forgive us. God cannot forgive a sin we will not confess. We've got to be willing to confess it to God, and then God will be able to overcome that. In 1 John 1 and verse 9, listen to what John says here. If we confess our sins, He, talking about God, Jesus Christ, all of heaven, the Holy Spirit, all those, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. We need to go to God and say, God, I've got a problem in this. I need your help in this. I need my brothers and my sisters' help in this. But be sure you go to God and talk to God about it. And please understand, you can hide as much as you want to. You can't hide from God. He sees what we do. Now you may say, oh, that's scary. No, it can be very uplifting, because we've got somebody there that we can go to and ask Him to help us, and we can overcome that. We can ask Him. And every time that temptation comes in front of us, what we might need to do is just to stop at that moment and say, God, I've got a problem. I need your help. And give us that time to be able to think about what we're trying to do and to be able to overcome that. We've got to be willing to do that. We've got to do that. And we go to God and we ask God to help us and we ask God to forgive us. We're going to have to do that. This thing of overcoming sin is not an easy thing to do. This thing of overcoming sin in our life is not something that one day we're just going to wake up and we're going to be able to do. You're going to struggle with sin all your life. Please understand that. I don't care if you're an elder, if you're a deacon, if you're a preacher. Sin is going to be ever before your face, and we're going to have to work on it. We work on it together because all of us understand the battle and the struggle that we have. We're going to be willing to do that. Now, turn if you would to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, if you would. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. I want you to see this. These first two verses, verses 9 and 10, are, I guess we would say, very negative verses. I think they're telling us the truth. We just don't want to hear it sometimes. Listen to what he says. And in verse 11, he helps us to understand it. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Don't be fooled into thinking that these things are all right. He says here, do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now here he says, there's things that will cause you not to be a part of the kingdom of God, or we might say to become an unfaithful member of the kingdom of God. He said, this is what will happen. But now, how did those people understand that? What were they thinking about? What he was trying to say to them, and such were some of you. You were those people that were doing those things. You were those people that were accomplishing those things. And he's mentioning here some sexual sins that are involved in that. Somebody says, well, where does it say pornography? Fornication, sodomites, and a lot of those other words there. That's a part of it. I don't think people are so naive to think that it does not affect them. And it does. If it's not that bad, why do we hide it? Why do we hide it and keep it undercover? He said, these are the ones. Now, look at verse 11 and what he said. This is when the sun shines. This is when the gospel opens up. But you were washed, But you were cleansed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name. This is how it was done, by the name of Jesus Christ. What he did on the cross is the thing that justified you, that cleansed you, that made you right. That's what Jesus did. But you have these things now. And by the Spirit of God, and by the Holy Spirit, by all of heaven, you have forgiveness of these things. And he was saying this to these people, helping them to understand you can overcome, and some of you have overcome. And maybe some of you that are looking back at those things and thinking, maybe I need to go back over there to those things again. He's saying, listen, understand, you're not going to be a part of the kingdom of God, but you were cleansed and you were made right. That's what God wants. That's what he's trying to do. God wants to save us so much, and he warns us about things. Now, we can take it as though I think Ken mentioned this morning, as though he's keeping us from having fun. That's not it. He's keeping us from giving our soul over to the devil. He's keeping us from getting our lives so messed up, and it messes up other lives. I mentioned to you the father who was arrested. 3 years in prison, has been switched from jail to jail because of what the prisoners are going to do to him. Don't think that jail is kind of like Mayberry, where you kind of go in and lock yourself in. That's not it. There are people there that are mean, they want to fight, they want to hurt somebody, they want to kill somebody. They want to molest somebody. It's not a place you want to go. And please understand, it's not a matter of I'm in my closet and nobody knows about it. It'll surprise you at what people know about you on the computer. It could just blow your mind. In fact, some of these things are looking at what you look at, and then they kind of throw these things your way. So if you kind of hit those sites a little bit, you'll get a little more of those. You'll get some anyhow. Who was it? Joyce is telling me she was on a station and said he had this girl about there about dating. I don't think Joyce wanted to date her or something like that. And all you got to do is just put your little arrow over there and hit that thing, and that site will come up. Then you can go to other sites, just like anything else that you're researching and looking at, just like anything else that you're trying to do. I think, was that you told me that? Was it somebody else? Oh, it was you. Oh, okay. Now, she wasn't looking for it. It came up as a pop-up thing on there. Okay, I got to make that clear, or she'll beat the daylights out of me after this. But you know what that is. You've seen that. It's come up on yours, too. It's come up on mine. And in the office in there. At the church building. It happens. It's not something that's isolated over here somewhere, and it happens to all these other people. It's coming into your house. And these people want you to get it. And you say, some people say, well, it's free. It can be. Or it can cost you a great deal. Because some of these sites you have to pay to get on. These things are things that you know, we don't really think about. And I hope we're not so naive to think that this is not something that's happening today. It is, and it needs to be dealt with. These people at Corinth faced some of these things as far as some of these sins that people were having to deal with. And Paul said, listen, that's where you were, and look what you have now. Look at what you have. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, and maybe you've been looking at this stuff, okay? Let me tell you something. God can sanctify, justify, and cleanse you as much as the day you were baptized. And he wants to do that. And he wants to forgive you. He wants you to be right with him. He wants to save you more than anything else. That's his whole desire. Think about this lesson. Think about ways that you can help your family to be able to do that, to watch out for it, to be protected by it, and do those things. Don't be so naive to think that it can't come into your home. It has, it does. We got enough pornography over the television, much less when you get on the internet. We have to guard against that because it can capture your soul. The devil is a trickster, and what he's trying to do is to trick you into falling. That's what he wants to do.